And so we come now in your presence to your word, thanking you that you have guidance and direction for us. We thank you that your word this morning, as it is every single moment of every day, is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. So we look to you once again, God. Have your way. In Jesus, your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord has us in a season of expansion. It includes the obvious physical expansion of our facility, of the worship center that we're in the process of doing it at this time. In fact, we just signed a little contract with somebody who's going to do, a contractor who's going to do the framing that's going to happen here very shortly. So we're excited about that. If you ever come in here on a Sunday and there's dust around, we've tried to clean it up as we're working on the other side of the wall, but you know, I know you're going to have a lot of grace for what God is doing as He's growing us, as He's expanding us as a church. So we have these external physical expressions and evidence of expansion, but this expansion goes beyond the external and is very much concerned with what's happening on the inside. Because external expansion is always a result of an internal expansion of our spirit through Christ Jesus. What we're seeing on the outside is really evidence of what's going on and what's happening on the inside. And so 6 weeks ago, we launched into a series that we've titled The Expanding Church. Let's hit the next slide. Give it that bump there. The Expanding Church, right? And we've been encouraged by God's Word to expand our vision, to expand our love, to expand our worship, to expand our faith. Last week we talked about expanding our freedom. And again, I want to encourage you that it's for freedom that you've been set free. I want to encourage you to walk in that, to be intentional. Sign up for Freedom Weekend. Go to the lobby after this service. Get signed up for next Saturday's Freedom Weekend event. Because God's expanding our freedom and He wants us to walk in the fullness of that freedom. Today, as we continue in this series about the Lord expanding us, I feel God is going to be taking us to the deep and sometimes uncomfortable place of expanding our waiting. That's going to be the title of today's message, Expanding Our Waiting. And for the most part, no one likes to wait. Who in here likes to wait? You can raise your hand. Okay. I'm going to discount those two hands that went up right now. Figuring you didn't hear what I really said anyway. No one really likes to wait. Yet life is full of wait. I mean, anywhere we go, we're waiting. We wait in traffic. We wait at the checkout counter. We wait to get a table at our favorite restaurant, unless you go to Nando's today for the bunch for lunch, because we have tables set aside for us. We wait. We wait. We wait for the foursome that's ahead of us on the golf course and try not to hit into them. We wait for a doctor. We wait for a spouse. We wait for a baby. We wait for retirement. We wait for sermons to finish up sometimes, right? We wait for Jesus to return. We wait. Life is full of wait. And sometimes, and most of the time, waiting can seem hard, especially when we're waiting for the big things. Not just waiting in traffic. I'm talking about the big things. Waiting for God to move in our lives. Waiting for God to bring that freedom in our lives. Waiting for God to show up in our marriage. Waiting for God to move on our child who's not been walking with God the way that they used to walk with the Lord. We're waiting for the big things. We're waiting for the pain and for the sickness to finally, once and for all, be gone and off of our lives. We're waiting to hear God's voice, to know His plans. We're waiting. Something about waiting. Waiting is not simply something that we have to endure until we get what we want. That's often what we think about waiting. just that time we have to endure until we get what we want. But I believe the Lord wants us to look at waiting a different way. See, we can expand our view of waiting and see waiting as the process of becoming what God wants us to be. Can we look at waiting that way a little differently? Maybe God's way? Waiting could actually be that process that God is orchestrating and walking us through, that process that is developing us and expanding us and molding us into that person that God created us to be, waiting. I know we live in a microwave culture. We want it, and we want it now. We don't want to wait. I don't like waiting for my coffee to brew in the morning. That's what I don't like waiting for. Negative view of waiting in our culture, but God sees things differently than we see things. God sees things differently than our culture sees things and processes things. And God actually uses waiting for His purposes and for His glory. And it's time for us, the church, the people of God, to see waiting as a gift from God. Waiting is actually a gift from God. It's not something to despise, but something to be thankful for. Waiting is actually a vehicle. If we allow it to be, if we'll get on it, if we'll get on the waiting train, waiting can be the vehicle that actually takes us right into the plans, purposes, and promises of God that He set aside and ordained for us. Waiting can be that vehicle. And so as we choose to expand our waiting, I want us to look at a few lessons about waiting. You ready to do this? Lesson number one. Waiting is not passive, it's active. Waiting is not passive, waiting is active. When Jesus left this earth, when He returned to heaven, surprisingly, He didn't tell all of His disciples to get busy doing this and get busy doing that. You know, hurry up and do this, hurry up and do that. Rather, what did He do? Jesus told His disciples to wait. He said, wait. He told them to go to Jerusalem and chill out and wait. We know Jesus assured them that the increase was coming. Jesus told them that the miracles were going to happen. Jesus told His disciples, you're going to be doing the things I've been doing and even greater things than these. Jesus told the disciples all of this. But first, He said, you must wait. 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 Specifically, He was telling them to wait for the Holy Spirit because He knew that if they ran off trying to live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit, without the baptism, the fullness of the Spirit, they were going to get themselves in a lot of trouble and experience a lot of disappointment. So He told them to wait. And what did the church do? The church actually waited. Jesus said, wait. So they waited. But I want to look at how the church waited. How did the church wait? Did they grumble while they waited? Now look, we know that song, whistle while you work, right? Whistle while you work. It's not, you know, grumble while you wait. That's not how it goes, right? And Jesus knew that. So He didn't, you know, and the church knew that. Jesus said, wait, it's not grumble while you wait. It's whistle while you wait and work, whatever, right? I know, I go crazy places. They didn't grumble while they waited. How can Jesus just leave us here? I can't believe it. Wait. I mean, we got to do something, right? No, they didn't do that. They didn't grumble. They didn't wait impatiently. They didn't take things into their own hands. You know, it's been a couple hours, Jesus. It's been a couple days. It's been a week. Time to get rolled. They didn't do that. They didn't wait impatiently. And did they sit around and just do nothing, twiddling their thumbs while they waited? Did they just get busy with meaningless temporal activities as they waited? No, that's not how the church waited when Jesus instructed them to wait. When Jesus said, this is the time to wait, they didn't wait impatiently. They didn't wait grumbling. And they didn't sit around twiddling their thumbs. No, the early church waited, and they waited actively. Let's look. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. verses 4 and 5. Let's see how the church handled what Jesus was telling them to do. On one occasion, verse 4, while Jesus was eating with them, his disciples, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. The word was said earlier, God has gifts for us. The gift, capital T, the Holy Spirit. Wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, if you wait, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so, how did the early church respond to this? How did the early church wait? Let's pick it up now in verse 14. It says that they all joined together. How did they wait? They all joined together, constantly in prayer. How did they wait? Joined together, constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So we're getting a picture and understanding on how the church is called to wait. What effective waiting, godly waiting, looks like. They were actively waiting, intentionally waiting, praying while they were waiting. They're showing us how to wait God's way here. And then it says this in Acts 2, beginning in verse 1. Remember how they're waiting. Remember how they're waiting. Because when the day of Pentecost came, where were they? What were they doing? They were waiting. It says they were all together in one place, waiting, actively waiting, joined together constantly in prayer. And all of a sudden, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay, I love the Word of God. I love how simple it is and how clear it is, how it instructs us in the important things of life, like waiting. Now, we just saw something happen. We saw a suddenly, right? And we all want suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Suddenly, God shows up in power. We all want the suddenlies. We're all looking for the big move of God. We pray for it. We long for it. We sing for it. We want the suddenlies. We want the release of His glory and His blessings. But check this out. The suddenlies of God tend to come out of the place of waiting. They come out of the place of waiting, out of the place of actively waiting, prayerfully waiting, waiting God's way, and suddenly. What are you waiting for? We're all waiting for something. What are you waiting for? What suddenly are you looking for right now in your life? What is it? What suddenly? The next obvious question would be then, well, how are you waiting for that suddenly? How are you waiting for it? Are you actively waiting? Are you prayerfully waiting for the move of God, for the suddenly of God? The early church made it a point to come together. And then what? Wait intentionally for the promise of God by praying together. Constantly praying together. Keep coming back to God. Coming together, going to God. Coming together and going to God. Waiting intentionally and then suddenly. So again, how are you waiting? A family in the church, the Allen family, I've talked to Wayne and asked if it was okay if I spoke about these things. He said, "You betcha, man." He's very excited right now because they've gone through a season, a long season of waiting. And there's going to be a testimony. We'll have a video maybe in a couple months, Wayne said, of their daughter Natalie. They've been waiting for their daughter Natalie, who was caught up, who was put in chains by the enemy, by addiction, by drugs, pulled away from the path and the blessings and the plans and purposes that God has for her life. Desperate situation. But I want to tell you how this family has been waiting for the suddenly, which, by the way, has come. It has come. And they are rejoicing as a family over this right now. The freedom, the test, clean and sober, has come. God is good. The suddenly has arrived. But how did they wait for all those months and months and months and months? It felt like an eternity. They came together, joined together, constantly and consistently with the people of God. They come nearly every single Wednesday to Wednesday night prayer. They're involved in life with others in this church on a regular basis, coming together and praying, constantly praying, never letting it go, never saying, well, we've already prayed 3 or 4 times for that. I'm not going to bother my church family with that need, and I'm not going to bother God with that need anymore. No, they waited God's way, joining together with their brothers and sisters and constantly praying, seeking the Lord and petitioning Him, asking, seeking, and knocking, and the suddenly happens. Waiting God's way. Thank you for being the example of waiting God's way, Wayne and Rita. Thank you. God is good, isn't He? He is so good. He is so good. So lesson number one, waiting is not passive. It's active. Let's look at lesson number two. Not waiting can bring some serious trouble. Let's run the video.
No, now. I want a ball. I want a party. Pink macaroons and a million balloons and performing baboons and... give it to me. Now, I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my bar of chocolates. Give it to me now. I want today. I want tomorrow. I want to wear them like braids in my hair, and I just want to share them. I want a party with roomfuls of laughter, 10,000 tons of ice cream, and if I don't get the things I am after, I'm going to scream! I want the works, I want the whole works, presents and prizes, surprises of all shapes and sizes, and now don't care how, I want it now. Don't care how, I want it now.
I want it, and I want it now. And that didn't end so well for Veruca Salt there of Willy Wonka fame, did it? Didn't end so well for her. In fact, you know where she went when that trap door opened, right? She went down into the furnace because all bad things get burned up. That's what Willy Wonka said. It didn't end well for her. Not waiting, wanting it now, being impatient can get you in a lot of trouble. I want to talk about another example of how not waiting brought some serious trouble. You see, back in the day, there was a fierce Philistine army that was about to attack the Israelites. We're going to be in 1 Samuel, Old Testament, 1 Samuel, chapter 13, beginning of verse 7. 1 Samuel 13, verse 7. Philistine army, big time army, coming after the Israelites. And here we pick up the story. Second half of verse 7 says, meanwhile, Saul, who was the king, Israelite king, stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier, but Samuel still didn't come. Saul realized that his troops were rapidly slipping away, so he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. Just as Saul was finishing with the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. Saul went out to meet and welcome him, but Samuel said, what is this you have done? Well, Saul said, I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive when you said you would, and the Philistines are at Michmash, and they're ready for battle, and it's looking really bad. I got scared, so I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even ask for the Lord's help, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came." "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "How foolish. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, had you waited, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." Got quiet in here. Willy Wonka and then this, right? Driven by fear. Okay, fear, just like things such as greed or lust or simple impatience, fear is not a good motivator. Driven by fear, Saul became impatient. He decided to take things into his own hands. And this not waiting cost him an awful lot, didn't it? Cost him his kingdom. Cost him his legacy. It ultimately cost him his life. Not waiting. Taking things into his own hands. Bad things happen when we become impatient and take things into our own hands. We find ourselves exchanging the plans of God, the blessings of God, for whatever we can muster up in our own strength. That's what happens when we become impatient and do things our own way, do things ourselves. This is an announcement. We had the birds last week. I'm just being patient and waiting. How about that? That's a miracle in and of itself. Bad things happen when we become impatient and take things into our own hands. We do. We exchange the blessings, the plans, the purposes, the goodness of God for whatever we can come up with in our own strength. Whatever we can fabricate, that's all we're ever going to get. And it's always going to be less than, and it can be very, very dangerous also. Not waiting can bring a lot of trouble with a capital T, as they say. Trouble with a capital T. Therefore, we must wait for God. And this leads us right into lesson number 3. Waiting requires trust. So number 1, waiting's not passive. Number 2, not waiting can bring trouble. And lesson number 3, waiting requires trust. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Again, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. This is a picture of waiting, but waiting from a place of trust. You see, when we wait upon the Lord and trust in the Lord, how many of you know it takes a lot of trust to wait for God? A whole lot of trust, a whole lot of faith. And when we wait for God, when we wait upon Him and trust in the Lord, He will actually show up and direct us and lead us into His perfect plans, His perfect purposes and promises for our lives. But notice, waiting requires trust. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting that He has it. Waiting, in a lot of ways, can be our demonstration that we truly believe God knows what He's doing. Because if we don't wait for God and we run ahead and do it something ourselves, we're basically saying, I don't think God really has this. I don't think He really is aware. I don't think He really knows what's going on right here. He doesn't understand the gravity, the significance of the situation or the pain I'm going through. All of these things you see Saul was processing, right? And so we jump and we do it ourselves. What's our view of God when we do that? What's our level of faith? What kind of trust do we really have in the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth when we jump ahead like that? Waiting requires trust. Whether it has to do with our relationships, our finances, our careers, you know, our dreams, our family, our marriage, our church, whatever it is, we have to trust that God knows what He is doing. He knows what He's doing. And He's a good Father, and He cares for you. He cares. And He's able to do a much better job with whatever that situation is than you're able to do. God is able to do. Furthermore, waiting can be God's way of determining if we are those who will truly trust Him before we move forward. I love the scripture that says that the Lord's looking to and fro throughout the earth. You know, He's looking all over for those who are fully given to Him. And when He finds those people, He shows Himself strong through them. When He finds those people who have demonstrated trust in Him, He knows that He can then trust them with His kingdom, with His plans, with miracles, with His word, with other people. He can trust and show Himself strong through those people. And so what do? We wait. And waiting requires that we come into agreement with the truth that God knows what He's doing. We come into agreement with the truth of who God is, that He is sovereign. God is sovereign. He is good and He is trustworthy. So much of waiting, so much of faith comes back to, as we talked about a few weeks ago, our view of God. Our faith will only expand to the degree that our view of God expands. We talked about that, two or three weeks ago. And so here we are, back to that principle. If we're going to wait and wait God's way, we got to have an expanding, growing view of God, because waiting requires trust. Here's another principle that demonstrates how waiting and trusting go together. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Ephesians 6, 13, we're talking about the full armor of God, spiritual battle, not against flesh and blood, but we're taking out the devil and all of his antics that he's got going on, right? And so Ephesians 6, 13 says, therefore put on the full armor of God. Got something to do there. We're going to put it on. So that when the day of evil comes, by the way, I want to just a side note here. My Bible, don't you love it when pastors say that? My Bible says, anyway, my Bible says put on the full armor of God. It doesn't say pray it on when all hell is breaking loose, you know, and hope that something magical happens, like it's pixie dust, you know, the armor of God, some kind of pixie dust we want to sprinkle over ourselves because finally we got ourselves in a real jam. In a real problem. But God's word says actually put it on. It's about a lifestyle of putting on these elements of faith. These elements of walking with God. Righteousness, salvation, peace, truth, all of these things. It's a lifestyle of continuing to put them on. And being surrounded by those things. Put on the full armor of God, it says Ephesians 6:13. So that when the day of evil comes, when it comes, it's coming. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. It's a picture of waiting, isn't it? After you've done everything, you've put on the armor of God, you've pressed into Him, you've been in His Word, you have built up your faith, you stand, you wait. Put on the full armor of God, and then trust God. That's what I also see in this passage. Put on the armor of God. Trust God. Trust that He is enough. Put on His righteousness and trust that His righteousness is enough. Put on His truth. Put it on. Take it in. Bathe yourself in it and believe and trust that it is enough. Put on salvation. Know that you're saved. The helmet of salvation. Put it on and know that you are saved. That you are His, and the enemy, whatever that evil situation that has come, cannot pluck you out of His hand. You have the helmet of salvation, and so you wait in trust, and you won't be able to be moved. You wait trusting that the sword of the Spirit will cut down every lie that the enemy is bringing at you and will make that way, clear that way for you to continue to walk in the plans and purposes that God has for you. You put it on, you put on the full armor of God, and you stand waiting, trusting. This is God. I won't be moved and I won't be afraid. And so lesson number one, waiting is active. Lesson number two, waiting, not waiting, can bring trouble. Lesson number three, waiting requires trust. And our final lesson, lesson number four, waiting makes us stronger. How many of you are ready to be a little bit stronger in the Lord? I'm ready. I need it. I'm going to spend a couple days up in Payson in the presence of the Lord getting stronger, waiting and getting stronger. Because waiting makes us stronger. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I'm going to be in the ESV on this one. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord get stronger in the Lord. I want us to look at the life of Abraham very quickly here. Abraham was a man who waited. He waited and waited and waited. As Abraham was waiting, waiting for the promise, waiting for his son, waiting to become the father of the nations, as Abraham was waiting, God was working on this man. God was molding his character. God was teaching him patience. He was building up Abraham's inner man. He was strengthening Abraham from the inside out. And I'm sure this process of waiting was hard for this man, for Abraham. We know that he didn't always wait perfectly God's way. Ishmael was an example of that. Yet, he didn't give up even after that. He went back to the Lord, received mercy and grace, and continued to wait and wait and wait. Maybe you haven't been faithful in your waiting. Doesn't mean it's over. Let the Lord heal you of that. Turn back to Him. Trust Him and keep waiting for Him, for His plan, for His purpose, for your life. But in the end, increased strength is what came to Abraham as he got to know the Lord in deeper ways. As he got to know the Lord in the place of prayer, daily submitting to the Lordship of God. During 25 years of waiting, not minutes. I know nowadays 25 minutes seems like a long time. 25 years of waiting, submitting to God, trusting the Lord, Abraham became stronger. Many would think of those 25 years as wasted years, the wasted years. I think of King David, anointed to be king, so many years, living in caves before he actually became the king. Are those wasted years? These 25 years of Abraham waiting, are they wasted years? It was actually the waiting that gave Abraham the strength to pass the supreme test. When he was asked to sacrifice Isaac, the son of promise, what he had been waiting for, it was the waiting, it was the working of God in this man during the waiting years that gave him exactly what he needed to pass that test and to glorify the Lord. Isn't that ultimately the purpose and plan for our lives? To glorify the Lord. In Abraham, in a very dramatic, beautiful expression of faith and love through the waiting, glorified God as he was willing to lay it all down. All down. He couldn't have done that without the waiting. He couldn't have walked in that kind of Hebrews 11 kind of faith without the waiting. Waiting makes us stronger when we are waiting with the Lord and waiting for the Lord. It makes us stronger. Waiting is not wasting when God is involved. And I want you to understand that. Waiting is not wasting when God is involved in your waiting. Now, if you're just waiting on your own, and you're waiting in your own mind with all your own thoughts and scheming on how you're going to stop the waiting and make something happen, then, oh my, it's going to get ugly, trouble. We talked about that, right? But when you're waiting with the Lord, it's not wasting. It's so powerful. It's so important. So important. The waiting becomes the very thing that positions us and prepares us to receive and properly handle the promises of God. I want to invite the worship team to come up. I want to do that little chorus waiting here for you here in just a moment. How many of you know that God's plans are good and His timing is perfect? And so we wait because God is good. His timing is perfect. And so we wait. It says this in 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness, as the world, as the culture understands, as our flesh understands slowness. But God is not slow in keeping His promise. In rolling out His plans and purposes, He's not slow. He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Waiting. God's perfect timing. And so we wait. We wait God's way by faith. We're not simply holding on to a particular outcome anymore. Not as believers who trust God. We're not holding on to an outcome. Rather, we're holding on to God. That's what we're doing when we're waiting. We're holding on to God. And anytime we're holding on to God, anytime that we're clinging to God, anytime that we're trusting God, anytime that we're relying on Him, our strength is increasing. Our inner man is being built up. We're getting stronger. And His grace is moving us into His promises. You see, God is the great mover. God is the great mover. He's really good at moving us and moving us the right direction and to the right place. And if we wait in patient trust, remembering that He's in control, remembering and knowing that He is doing His work, increasing our strength, then we will be those who experience the great move of the great mover, God, as we wait, as we wait. I want to invite you as we just sing this chorus a few times together in faith, coming into agreement with this word of expanding our waiting, that if you just want to get on your knees where you are, if you want to come up here to the front and kneel, if you want to stand with your hands raised, if you want to remain seated, whatever the posture is that you're feeling to take at this time, but I want you to press in to this amazing gift called waiting that God has for each one of us. I want to invite the ministers to come forward, the prayer ministers. The Lord has shown us in His Word that waiting His way means joining together, constantly praying. We're going to close right now. But I want to encourage you, if you've been waiting for something, to engage with God's way of waiting right now this morning. We're joined here together. You have brothers and sisters in the Lord right up here who are willing to join you in constant prayer right now, who are willing to come alongside of you right now in prayer. I want to encourage you, what is it that you're waiting for? What is the suddenly that you've been crying out for and desiring? Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to Him in prayer. Engage with your church family. Let them come alongside of you. Believe with you. Believe for you. And if you walked in this room empty and never knowing the love of God. Today is the day of salvation for you. I'm going to say this, the Lord's been waiting for you. Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross 2,000 years ago to make a way for this day for you. And He's been patient, not wanting you to perish. He's saying, come and receive new life. Come and receive the suddenly that you've been waiting for. New life in Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world. As we close now, I want to invite you to come forward and just share with one of these prayer ministers that you're ready to receive new life. Say, I'm ready for new life, and they'll pray with you. The waiting is over. The day of salvation has come. We're going to close now. Bring it to God.